chapter of Psalms, all five verses. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. We're here this morning because our God is good. Amen. He's blessed us to see another day, and he's enabled us to gather in his presence this morning. And he's given us a voice, and he's given us hands, and he's given us breath, everything we need to praise him this morning. So let's purpose this morning. We will enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we enter this time, Lord, we just pause to thank you. And Lord, we just embrace your presence in our midst this morning in a special way, Lord. We purpose in our hearts that we will enter your gates this morning with thanksgiving and enter your courts with praise. We will lift up our voices and sing and praise you and worship you, Lord, because your word says you inhabit the praises of your people. So, Father, we just commit this time to you. Bless the time of worship. Bless the time of the word, Lord, and sharing this morning by the women, Lord. May your people receive what you have purposed for us this morning. And we just yield this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Greetings once again. This is a special Sunday. This is Women's Sunday. A fantastic retreat. They'll be telling you more about it. But first, before Angela takes over and tells us what's going to happen, we're going to see a video of the women's retreat right now.
All right. Just a tiny sample, yes. And my mom really did climb that whole wall, so. You never know what happens when you stay up till, you know, 2 a.m. Pictures start to look a little different. Anyway, with permission. At this time, we're going to have our speakers come forward that spoke at retreat, and we're just going to give you like a 3-minute sneak preview at what we talked about. So if you want to come up at this time.
Well, I had the opportunity to open, which is a unique experience for me, and God decided to make the entire process of that a unique experience for me that I shared with the women, but 3 minutes is not long enough to share it with you. So, but I do want to share. What I spoke on was being emptied, and that we need to be empty in order to be filled. And I alluded to, if you've ever drank or made coffee in a French press, you put your coffee grounds in, and you put your water in, and then you press the stuff you don't want to drink down to the bottom, and all the good stuff is on top. Well, I have a tendency to keep the grounds in there because I like really strong coffee. So like day two, it's 8 scoops of coffee, and day three, it might be 12. But by the time you keep, if you kept doing that, you'd have no good stuff, but a lot of gross sediment at the bottom. And we tend to do that with the world. If we allow the world to come into us and it settles, sometimes we press it down. And sometimes we press it down so hard and so deep that we forget it's even there. But pretty soon, where the space we have for God to pour into us becomes less and less and less. And so we need to have God needs to go in, and we need to clean out. And sometimes we need God to go in and clean house too. And the psalmist said, "Search my heart, O God, and show me anything in there that displeases you." And we need to ask him to do that because we need to be clean and emptied out in order to be filled to abundance and overflowing so that we can then give out to others. And I shared a lot of scripture, but I'm going to share this one with you. 1 John 4, verses 13, 16, and 18. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his spirit. We have to remember he abides in us, and that gives us all that power. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Now the key word there is love. God is love. And that's what he pours into us. And then the last verse there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. See, we don't have to fear what God's going to put into us. We don't have to fear that he doesn't love us because the Bible tells us he does. 1 Corinthians 13 is used at weddings to talk about the love between a man and a woman. But 1 Corinthians 13 is about the love that God has for each and every one of us. And that love that he pours into us that doesn't judge and it's kind and it's perfect and it's forever. And if we can remember that and allow him to pour that into us to abundance and overflowing, then that love then pours out of us into the world that we affect. Amen? Amen. Amen.
I think Kim should just speak all of ours too. Like she can remember what we said because she's such a good speaker. I'm Sandra, and I spoke on my theme, I think, was from sippy cups to the golden chalice. And so I went through and talked about all the cups in my life. So it started out as a sippy cup. It was healthy. It was fun. It was safe. It was filled with milk and juice and water. And then it went on to some problems in my life, some abuse that happened, control that happened, cheating, lies, all that fun stuff that occurs when you are young, choices that you make from your actions. And so my cups, I was going to bring them today, but I didn't feel like you guys really needed to see like five cups lined up because you'd really have no clue what they all meant unless you were there. But I had like a Hello Kitty cup that was empty because of some things that happened in my childhood. And I had a white cup that was shattered and broken and kind of put back together, but it was really ugly. And then I had another cup that looked really good on the outside, but it was cracked and splintered on the inside. And then I had a margarita cup. Kids, it's not for what you think it was for, but maybe it was. But it was broken as well and kind of duct taped together. But they all represented broken parts of my life that weren't healed until I met God. And then through God, he redeemed me. He restored me. He made me whole again. And I showed them my camping cup. It's a clay cup that my mother got for me because I love to camp. And that was all about how God is our potter and that we're the clay in his hands. And so my cup was whole again and not leaking. And then, so one of the scriptures that I shared, one of the other interesting things is all of us women did not get together before and go over like, this is what I'm going to talk about, this is what I'm going to talk about. But all of our scriptures matched. A lot of us had the same themes, what we all knew was fill my cup, but we used a lot of the same scriptures, same ideas. So one of the scriptures that was used quite a bit was Psalm 139. I'm just going to read a couple of the lines. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. And it goes on to talk about that we're his masterpiece, that he was there from the beginning when we were created, and that was how God redeemed and restored me. I was broken and afraid, worthless, controlling, all those things, but through God I was healed, and my cup is now pure. And so then I talked about, you know, what does that look like later in life? How do we continue with that? How do we keep our cup unbroken and part of his? So I talked about how we can abide in Christ, how we remain in him, and what does that look like? When we're under his protection, which is when we're abiding in him, it's like being in the rain. And no, I don't believe in superstitions, and so it's okay that you can open an umbrella inside. So when you're abiding in him, you're under his umbrella, and you're protected, and you're safe. You're still going to get wet at the feet if the rain comes in from the side, but you're, in general, protected from him. When you step out of that umbrella, you get soaking wet, and you're bombarded by Satan's arrows, by nastiness, all that stuff. So we just have to remember to be underneath that umbrella and to be protected, but know that we're still going to be attacked. And then I think I finish with some other scripture, but That was pretty much my talk, was just how to abide in him and to recognize that he saves us.
My topic was our journey to a life reimagined. And the Christian life is all about transformation, first of all. The first transformation is receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior, accepting that salvation, which is, of course, a free gift. Nothing we've done, nothing we could do, will ever qualify us to receive salvation. But after the salvation takes place in our life, then God wants to take us and change us and transform us to become like his Son, Jesus Christ. That is the whole goal of the Christian life. John 10:10. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life, may enjoy and have life, and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. So our challenge is to allow the work of the Holy Spirit in us to change us so that our life is joyful, abundant, full, and running over. Amen. We find that our imagination has been given to us by God for a reason. He created it. It's part of our mind, and it's used to help us form ways of dealing with difficult problems, to see an answer. It's where ideas and thoughts are processed. And so God can use that imagination to help us to see a reality that we don't have yet. It's a faith reality, actually. It's a life of faith. But you and I cannot become narrow in our focus and look at just our problems and our circumstances, and that's where we stay, is all around with what's happening. We have to be like Abraham was when God took him out of his tent to show him his future. We see Abraham was struggling with the fact that he had not yet received the promise of God, which was that son in his old age. And he's struggling to believe God. So God took him, the Bible says in Genesis 15, took him out of his tent, showed him the stars, and he said this, if I can find it, right here. Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Great words. And Abram believed the Lord. I guess that's one of the challenges. Do you believe the Lord? Do you believe that God has for you a life that is far beyond your wildest dreams and imaginations? You see, God wants to take you to a life that moves you beyond your own ability, your own talent, your own training, your own experience, your own education, and take you to a life that you can't even believe you could have. And it's going to take God working in you to get it. See, that's the key. God wants to show off. He wants people to look at you and say, whoa, who are you? You're nothing like you were back here. You see, that's how God gets the glory. But if we're busy taking the glory, if we're kind of okay, if we're not looking forward and believing God for something more than he has, chances are we might have, of course, the number one problem is our belief system, our lack of belief. To believe it's possible. The second problem could be we're just kind of full of our own self, which is pride. And pride displays itself sometimes in arrogance and bragging, and other times in a little more subtle, deceptive, kind of self on the throne, maneuvering and manipulating for recognition and approval. But in any case, pride's a big problem. We looked at Joseph. Joseph had a pride problem. We talked about that. We saw how it was dealt with by God. And what's awesome is you see that Joseph became a humble leader and a magnificent leader in the end. But he did have that pride problem. So our giftings, our abilities, our experience, our education, and our personalities are never enough.
Amen.
God wants our character.
Yeah.
More than what you do, God wants to know who you are and who you are becoming. That's His work in us. That's that transformation. He moves us from all of this stuff that He's given us, and they're all wonderful, and they're given to Him by God, by Himself rather. They're given to Him for us, for our benefit, and the world's benefit. But that's not where our focus should be. Our focus should be on the character that we are becoming. So when pride presents itself, when unbelief presents itself, our solution is to spend time with God, to get to know Him. It's very difficult, after you've been in a time with God, to come out of that experience and to be full of your own self, your own solutions. You feel very humbled, and you see how much you need Him. And this pride that presents itself in inferiority and fear and all these other negative things can be taken care of by our understanding of who we are in Jesus Christ. Blood-washed children of the King. Blood-washed children of the King. It's a name we can bear with pride.
Amen.
Everything else doesn't matter a whole lot. I don't care about your degrees or your influential family we came out of, how talented, how smart, how powerful. Really, it's all meaningless. But who we are in Jesus Christ is what counts.
Amen. Amen.
Who we are in Jesus Christ. And God is going to do that work in us and through us if we'll just let Him. So let's imagine that, shall we?
Amen.
Let's see that. And in closing, I was reminded of a little comment by my little 5-year-old granddaughter as we were shopping this summer, and she got out of the car, and for some reason, I don't know why in the world, it popped into her head, but Angie and I were kind of getting out of the car and getting ready, and she just kind of tugs on me and looks up, and she says, Grandma Dee, did you know, very profound, did you know, like she's telling me something I don't know, did you know that God is holding our world? Pauses. And my daddy is the fake God. Now, some of you may not know that David, of course, plays Jesus in our Reflections of Calvary production. But she wanted to make a profound statement. She wanted to make sure I didn't get my gods mixed up. That I didn't have the fake God, that I had the real God in mind. So can I just tell you, God is holding your world.
Amen.
And He's able to do it.
Amen. Alrighty, so I talked Saturday morning, and my message was Brutifully Made, Stirring Up God's Gifts in Your Life. And before I talk, Donzie's message from the previous night just really impacted me, and I was standing in the back before I spoke, and I was just full of fear and anxiety, and I was like, I cannot do this, and I even checked my heart rate, and it was 149. I'm like, I can't. Now it's 117, so it's okay. And it was just like, I just had to continue to repeat Donzie's words in my heart and in my mind, and just that God is holding my world, even though speaking is such a fear for me for some reason, like that He has called me to do this, and that I got it. So just thank You for that. So I started off reading Psalm 139:14, and it is, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I know Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. And I just wanted that to be the baseline for the retreat, for my message, and just that the women understand their worth through God's eyes and not their own. So then I read 1 Corinthians 12, and it talks about the spiritual gifts, because to go along with Kim's message of being, we need to empty ourselves to allow God to fill us, and I believe that one of the things that He fills us up with is a specific and unique gift that we can use. So I said that we need to be informed, we need to be influenced, and we need to embrace diversity.
So everyone's cups look different. Everyone's cups has a unique and handmade recipe that God has given us. There are no lesser or greater gifts, and every gift is needed in order for the church to thrive. And then continuing it, we need to identify and apply our gifts. So I encourage the women to not compare and compete, because that just sets you back and gets you very discouraged. And I kind of talked about how, dang it, how I constantly compare and compete specifically to this one friend that I had, and that what God was doing in her life, I was just like so envious and bitter, and I was like, why can't I have that, God? Like, you are doing so many great things and I'm not. And then I kind of got slapped in the face by God, and he was like, because you're constantly looking side to side instead of towards me. And so I wanted the woman to, if they caught themselves, you know, well, why is God doing that in her life, or why can't I do that? It's because, who are you focusing on? Are you focusing on your relationship with God or other people's relationship with God? And that doesn't get us anywhere. I also said that there's no mistake when God gave us our gifts and that we are qualified to use them. However, I think there needs to be that healthy balance of, God has made me who he is, so I can do this, but apart from God, I can't do anything. And I kind of talked about how after my mission trip, God clarified that I have the gift of compassion when it comes to my nursing career, and that I need to work in a more like family care setting so I can have that regular visiting with my patients. And then after the trip, I spoke at youth camp, and then I spoke here about my trip. And then Jim a couple weeks ago came up and he's like, hey, do you want to speak at Women's Retreat? And I'm like, let me get back to you. And I was like, you know, I was like, I really don't want to. It's midterms right before. And then after the service, I went up and I was like, okay, Jim, challenge accepted. And so it was just like that, putting the focus not on me, and that God is going to use me if I allow him to. And that we got this because God ultimately has us. And then I read the rest of 1 Corinthians 12, which talked about the diversity in the body and how together we represent a body. Verse 25 and 26 says, rejoice when others rejoice and weep when others weep. So in other words, I believe that we need to stay connected, not only as women, but just as the entire church, and just be involved in one another's lives, not just seeing each other on the Sundays or the Wednesdays, but making that extra time out of our week to see each other. And then lastly, I talked about being continuously refilled, and that could either mean being refilled because we have so much crud in our lives and that we are just burdened out by work, marriage, kids, school, whatever, and that we just need to run to God to be refilled, or it could be being refilled because we are using what God has given us. So that what he gives us is not something that we need to hold on to and just keep to ourselves. It's what we should be pouring out into each other's lives. And like Pastor Henry said last Sunday, that he blesses us so we can bless others. So if we're continuing to give, then we need to continually be refilled by God. And so that's it.
Thank you, Carly. You know, I just think Carly's awesome. I just want to say that. I do. And it's God, it's Christ in Carly. It's Christly. No, but it is, and you know what? Not everybody has the ability to be trusted so easily by everybody the minute people hear them. And you have a gift of Christian authenticity, pure love, and I don't know, I could probably line up 100 people and they would say that whether they were saved or not. And that ability is what wins people for the gospel. And it's whether there's nerves or not, it's so powerful, you hardly need to say a thing. And I just wanted to say that. And I was thankful that I got to hear you, because, you know, it's just a couple drops of Carly. And the women are
Lots of tissue. Anyway, it's Jesus, Jesus and Carly. Anyway, I just had to say, because, you know, anyway, thank God for all of us, our diverse gifts, and you are one, and I'm glad you are here. So I just wrapped it up at the end. Again, there's lots that could be said, of course, but the main two words that God just kept telling me, obviously, it wouldn't take a rocket scientist, but we're just be filled. And the Bible says be filled. Which we know that God provides free gifts that we can receive. But also, we have to accept. And if there's living water, we have to drink it. And so when God says, be filled, Angela, I'm like, okay, Jesus. And that is a continual process. So if you line up be filled from top to bottom, make a line, so a little acrostic in your head, the be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. The E, every morning, Lamentations 3:22-23. His mercies are new every morning. And whether I said to the women, whether you're a morning person or not, doesn't matter, because it's Him. It's Him that's faithful. It's Him that's providing the new strength. I don't have to. I can just receive it. The F, from Him, through Him, and for Him are all things. Romans 11:36. So I'm getting the living water from Him, and I'm doing all the things through Him, and then I'm offering it back up to Him. And if everything is connected in that way, it's a success. If it's not, there's failure in my life. But He is there and able. The I, so B-E-F-I. In scorched places, you are a watered garden. And Isaiah 58:11 says that, also says we're like a spring. In a scorched place, so think about it, you know, where are the scorched places in your life that you are a watered garden? And I just also just liken that, it might have been later in my message, to the Lord preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Sometimes we don't like the location of the table, but that's where the blessing is that He has. We're safe at the table. We're not safe if we're somewhere else, but there's blessing at the table. There's fruit and prosperity in the garden as we are this watered garden in this scorched place, but it's dry other places. So it reminds us our source is not our environment. We are specifically and intentionally called to environments that have death in them because that's where Jesus wants to bring healing. So it should not be a mystery. And instead of avoiding those places, we have to seek those places, which sounds a little crazy, but it's true. The other L, let the one who is thirsty come, Revelations 22:17. And God, of course, says that to us. Jesus says that to us. Come, taste the living water. But that is also our invitation to the world. Let the one who is thirsty come. Come to me, because I have living water that's from an unending source. And so if you come to me, I can point you to Him. So that's our invitation to the world as well. E, exceedingly abundantly above all. Ephesians 3, many times we heard Ephesians 3 in different ways, in different messages. But basically, and that's the Message Bible kind of phrases it that way. Actually, the Message Bible is a different one. The previous, did I say live full lives full in the fullness of God? See, that's what I meant to say just now. Pause. Let's rewind. Let's review. Wait for it. Let the one who's thirsty come. We got that. Now we're back, boop, to the second L. Live full lives full in the fullness of God. That is Ephesians 3, and it's in the Message Bible. Live full lives full in the fullness of God. And I love how it says that in the Message Bible. Just to know that when I encounter the love of God, each new revelation of the love of God, which it talks about earlier in the chapter, leads me to be full, to the fullest. And it's His will that I'm full. And that's the thing is that He is a God who wants to give us more than we need so that we can give it away. And I love that. E, exceedingly abundantly above all, which is also from Ephesians 3:20-21. That's where I got confused, people. Exceedingly abundantly above all that I can imagine. Going back to Momsy over there. Also, He is exceedingly abundantly above all. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all. But the amazing thing is, He wants to do it through me, in me, which is crazy. And last but not least, the D,
Do not worry and don't grow weary. So Matthew 6:34 and Galatians 6:9. He doesn't want me to worry about tomorrow. That's great to know. And he doesn't want me to grow weary in doing good. He doesn't want me to give up. And so the Bible is full of encouragement. It, you know, it sustains us. And so it was an honor to speak and just also be encouraged by so many women, also in the sharing in our small groups. So it wasn't just obviously our speakers, but we just, many people encouraging one another in the Lord in our small group time too. At this time, we're going to open it up for people to share. And so, you know, if you feel kind of something like, maybe I should, maybe you should. And Joy, you have the privilege of starting us off because I know that you were one who was willing. So, Joy Painter.
Thank you. I am so thankful that we are so blessed with these women who are great speakers. They bring us such wonderful messages that I know it touches us all. Well, I wrote down a couple of things that really resonated with me. It's not things that I didn't already know, but they're things that we need to be reminded of all the time. Our first priority each day is to ask God what he wants from us. What does he want us to do? But be ready for an answer. If we ask, we'll get an answer. And then it's up to us again. Obey. Do it. Because we have the choice. It's our choice to do what God wants us to do. And then it's our choice to allow him to give us the strength to do it. Even though we think, oh, I can't do that. We can if we ask for the strength. And the other point that really resonated with me is when Christ is in us, the enemy cannot be. Because light and darkness can never exist in the same place at the same time. The enemy may attack, but when we call on Jesus, the enemy must flee. We have that power because we already have the victory.
Amen. All right. I have something to read from Rachel Hunt, and I'm just going to read it. She didn't want to miss out on an opportunity to share. She said, God filled my cup to overflowing this weekend, which is why I can't let a little sickness keep me from giving him the credit he so deserves. If I could, I would shout from the mountaintops how great my God is. But for now, I'll let my sister read and declare the great things he did in me this retreat. So my fellow believers can rejoice with me and the enemy of my soul can cower in the depths where he belongs. I came into this retreat with great anticipation. Not for me, though. No, I was excited for a friend of mine and the great work of restoration he would begin in her. I was ready for a battle that I would help fight, ready to throw some punches and take some hits for the kingdom in a war for her soul, ready. Then Kim spoke. The title of her message was, Thanks, but I'm good. From that moment, I saw those words on the screen. I knew God had me. You see, I loved God and served him. My faith in him was not easily shaken. My marriage was strong and my children loved the Lord. Though it wasn't perfect, my life was filled with good. But God revealed to me in that moment that I had stopped seeking more of him. And not only that, but I had ceased accepting more of him. I wasn't intentional with my faith walk. My life is busy, and the idea of one day got me through to the next day. And until then, thanks God, but I'm good. There's quotes around the thanks God, but I'm good. Pastor Henry gave an illustration last Sunday that likened our faith walk to a walk on the treadmill. If you're not taking steps forward, then you're going backward. Then, as we ladies know, that God will repeat a message until we freaking get it. As I'm reading her quotes. It's power. Okay. Kim gave a similar illustration in her message, this time with an escalator, heels, and bloodied knees. So not only can we go backwards, but if we don't walk intentionally, we can seriously injure ourselves. I wasn't moving forward, and the main reason was get this, I associated more of God with a cost. It was going to cost me something, and I didn't have any more to give. I wanted to be used, but I didn't want to be stretched. The more that was given to me, the more that would be asked of me. Before I knew it, more of God was a terrifying idea. So I avoided it, and my relationship with God remained surface level. But if God is good, and God is love, and He is peace and joy and kindness and charity and wisdom and strength, if He is all of these things and more, who would not want more of Him? Every good and perfect gift is from Him, and in Him there is no darkness, so we won't have to be afraid of what He has for us. It is all good. As the weekend went on, I realized just how unequipped I was for this battle I was anticipating for my friend, and that this retreat was just as much for me. God reminded me of the desires of my heart, desires that I had put on hold until a season less busy than this. He showed me the women in my life that I admired because they were utilizing their gifts, and that there is no, quote, easy button for practicing our gifts or for simply putting scripture to use in our lives. The Holy Spirit does not gift one with knowledge of scripture without having to read it. Once again, I must be intentional. Intentional with my time, my energy, my thoughts, and more. I'm thankful to say that my friend was met by God this weekend. He did begin a new work in her, just as He did in me. And I can honestly say that I want more of my God. These are no longer just words, but a declaration for my life. And I know I'm filled so I can pour into others, only to filled to overflowing again. Praise God, the maker and keeper of my soul. All right. Amen. Angelisa.
I don't know about you ladies, but how many of you woke up this morning and expected to have breakfast ready for you? Seriously. I was expecting like some biscuits and gravy or something. And then I walked into the kitchen. I realized if I want anything, I'm making it. And then I found myself making something for somebody else as well. So not only were we spiritually filled, we were physically filled. I weighed a certain amount on Thursday, and when I weighed this morning, I'm like, darn, I'm going to have to up those miles. I kind of wanted to talk about the pre-retreat and how we had a group of 13 ladies who got together to plan for this retreat, and that is awesome, and new faces, new ideas, fresh ideas, and how it all correlated together, and it was a pretty much a flawless retreat. And then we get to the retreat, and we have five wonderful speakers, and God wanted us to hear five messages that were basically the same, but in five different ways, and verses repeated five different ways. And one of them, Donzi, on Friday night says, I have 14 pages of notes to go over with you ladies tonight. I kind of went, ha! Ah. But you know what? We needed to hear the 14 pages. We really did. And it didn't feel like 14 pages of notes. But it's amazing how God works. Repeated verses. And like Sandra had said, and all of the ladies, nobody knew what each other was talking about, what their message was going to be on. And that's how God works. In our small groups, sometimes it can be very awkward and people don't want to talk. People were sharing. People were bawling. People were crying. God brought us together because He wants us ladies to be together. He wants the bad to be emptied and the good to be filled. And we will get that by interacting with each other, by getting into His Word, and continuing to believe in Him and have faith. Thank you.
I just have to give props to Alsada, because she jumped into the fireside, and after we were all singing and dancing, she danced for us. So I just had to say that. But I also want to say that, I mean, the retreat was amazing. We went from, like Lisa said, like we would cry, and then all of a sudden we were line dancing, and then we would cry more, and then we were painting mugs, and people were coloring and playing games and laughing, and thankfully, I didn't stay up till 4 o'clock for two nights in a row, but I know many of the women did. So husbands and kids, be very loving to your moms and wives today, because we needed that. We really needed to stay up late. So I just wanted to say thank you to all the families that let us go and spend days together. So thank you.
All right. You know what we're going to do is we're going to just praise and worship. Just in closing, and it's not too late to share if you feel like coming up, just walk on up. But we'll have the praise and worship team come forward as we close.
I really, really did not want to come up here and talk, as you can tell, in the last minute. I have been a petulant child, stomping my foot in anger because I didn't get what I thought was supposed to happen in my life. And because of that, I did not clear out all that junk in my cup. And I was so full of yuck that I couldn't allow and didn't want to allow God to fill me up with what he needed to fill me with, and his peace and his comfort, understanding that he loves me when I don't feel worthy. And I didn't want to hear him say he loved me. I didn't want to feel his comfort and get comfort from him in the place that I needed it most. And probably for a good year, I've been pushing God away and saying, nope, I know you're God. I know you love me, but I will not take your comfort because I'm stubborn. I'm stubborn, and I didn't want to accept it. And every message, every time I turned around, every time we were in a small group, it was like one more thing that said, no, you will hear me. You will hear me right now, Jessica. I love you, and you will not avoid it anymore. And I never expected to get that out of this weekend. I expected to go there and just keep my wall up and be protected, you know, protect myself from what I didn't want to experience. And God thankfully broke that wall out. And it's such a blessing. All that you ladies put together, it impacted me in a huge, huge way. And I'm not the only one. I know so many women that I could just see all of the grief and the pain. I saw it wash away, and I saw the peace come over you all, and the hunger that took its place. It was amazing, amazing to me to see all those women just full again. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful this weekend. So thank you. Amen. Thank you.
Hi. I thought I was fine. I was like, I got this. I had some stuff coming to my life. And I came to a stop on my treadmill. I wasn't going forward. And I thought, okay, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Nope, I was going back. I was losing my faith. I wasn't trusting God at all. And when I thought what he wanted me to do, boy, was I way off. It wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. He's saying, nope, I'm testing your faith. You're losing me. Come back. And I didn't see it. I didn't realize how much I was holding on to. I was so full of everything else, I was no longer letting him in. And it took every single one of you guys this weekend to show me that it all had to go. I had to let go and trust. And you know what? Right now, I'm not walking on my treadmill. I am running. I am running and doing everything I can to come closer to my God. Thank you.
I just wanted to thank all the ladies for making my friend Courtney that came last year and this year, that even though she doesn't go to this church, that you guys just made her just one of our family. And that was just so awesome, and I just thank you.